Good afternoon. I know you've heard it before, but happy Mother's Day to all you mothers. I just want to say, I know this is a bittersweet day, as Lisa said, and so we celebrate with the sweetness, right? Whether we are a mother, that we've have a motherly figure, have had a motherly figure in our lives, I think we can all appreciate the incredible nourishment and sacrifice and love that our mothers have had, and for those who are expecting, or just maybe they have a deep longing in their heart. I know I'm not absolutely have zero qualifications to talk about this, but I think of the mother Hagar, and when God met her in the wilderness when she was ready. When she was ready and willing to die, God showed up, and she named the place El Roy, right? For he is the God who sees. He is the God who sees your heart and longing and love, and so he grieves with you. He knows the struggles and the pains, and so, but he also reminds us through our mothers that we have this deep care and love available to us, and so, if you have a mother, give her a big hug, and whether your mother is physically here or not, we know that she's always here. Always here. Right. So, I have no good transition for that. So, I'm going to ask, as I usually do, this time I'm going to have three questions for you this morning, and they are participation ones, at least the first couple ones. Right, so I'm gonna ask for a little vulnerability. Who here knows they talk too much? I'm raising my hand too. There we go. Cause I'm that too. All right, we're good. Thank you for participating. Now, the more fun question: who here knows they have to deal with the people who talk too much? I love it. I wasn't sure if I was going to have participation, but I'm thankful. Thankful, all of you. We love you very much, who listens. Thank you. Thank you. And so, I want to tell you about a time with, I was driving down Cranberry South River Road with my wife, Selena, in the car, and we passed by this old Cannon building, and I tell her, and she knows, that I used to work there. And so I was telling her, hey, did you know Canon makes more profit from their camera lenses than their cameras? And then I just kept going on and spewing fun facts about Canon, right? And so at some point she says to me nonchalantly, why are you telling me this? And so it's not coming from a bad place, trust me, as many of you wives and other people who have to listen know, right? It wasn't coming from a bad place, but I have a tendency to rant, like I am now. But it got me thinking, right? I was thinking I probably shared it from a dark place, or maybe just I wanted to share information that I know, or just to, maybe worse, show my pride and how much I know, right? And sometimes it was just because I wanted to share information, right? Right, for all of you who talk too much, I know that feeling. I empathize with you, right? So when I was studying this passage this morning, I was thinking about this question for you. Am I treating God's word, the Bible, like information, or is it for transformation? Right. And so before we explore that question, let's pray. Lord, Heavenly Father, Jesus Christ, Holy Spirit, we just thank you so much that you are present with us, that you are here singing over us, that you are that you love us so deeply. Lord, may you give us eyes to see and ears to hear. Lord, as we just go through our day to celebrate our mothers, may you give us strength and all love to show them the love that they have showed us. And so we thank you so much for your word this morning. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Right, so today we're continuing our series in Mark, right? And last week, Jesse spoke on the parable of the sower, right? And so in part of his message, he challenged us to not only engage in God's word through speaking, but more importantly, through listening, right? Listening. And then 2 weeks ago, Pastor Jen from PAC spoke about how a close, a distance to God doesn't necessarily mean intimacy with God, right? We can read the Bible, we can engage in a Sunday worship gathering like this, or we can pray, right? These are all good things to do, but they don't necessarily equate to an intimate relationship with Jesus, right? And so in that vein, I am asking us a deeper question, right? Am I treating God's word like information or for transformation, right? I'm challenging us this morning to think deeply to how we approach, how we engage, and how we respond to God's word, right? And so let's turn to Mark chapter 4. Our passage is Mark chapter 4, verse 21. We're starting in verse 21. Verse 21, he said to them, is a lamp brought in to be put under a basket or under a bed and not on a stand? For nothing is hidden except to be made manifest, nor is anything secret except to come to light. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear, right? Does that sound familiar if you were with us last week, right? He said to them, pay attention to what you hear. With the measure you use it, it will be measured to you. And still more will be added to you. For to the one who has, more will be given. And from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. And he said, the kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground, and he sleeps and rises night and day, and the seed sprouts and grows. I don't know why I'm singing that. and he knows not how. The earth produces its by itself, first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. But when the grain is ripe, at once he puts in the sickle because the harvest has come. And then he said, "With what can we compare the kingdom of God? Or what parable shall we use for it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which when sown on the ground is the smallest of all the seeds on the earth. Yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes larger than all the garden plants and puts out large branches so that the birds of the air can make nests and shades." And with many such parables, he spoke the word to them as they were able to hear it. He did not speak to them without parable, but privately to his own disciples, he explained everything. All right, this is where I pass it off to Dan. He can just explain everything for us, right? No, but if you're like me, who else had this reaction? What? Jesus, what did you just say? Can you please explain, right? Por favor, explique. Jesus, explain. What is going on? What are you talking about, right? But this was on purpose, right? Jesus is speaking in parables, just like Jesse reminded us last week, right? And the purpose of these parables was to teach them and really teach us to think, right? And the majority of, if not all of the parables, were about God's kingdom and how to live in them, right? And if you're like me, sometimes you just want the answers, right? Sometimes you want to be explicitly told, hey, A, B, and C, this is how you follow Jesus, right? And if you remember, this is a little traumatic, right? You remember from your schooling days, right? The first time you ever heard an ambiguous question beyond 1 + 1, you were like, what? Excuse me, teach? What do you mean? We're going beyond 1 + 1, right? And that's sometimes how we can feel in reading scripture, right? But thankfully, there are places in the New Testament where our writers do explain and do teach us how to live a godly and Christ-centered life. Even in the teachings of Jesus, right? He mentions in verse 34, he says, he did not speak to them without a parable, but privately to his own disciples, he explained everything. Right? So if he didn't explain much, there would be a good chunk of the New Testament missing, right? Of course, the Holy Spirit could still speak, but there's a lot of teachings that Jesus expanded on, right? But that's the frustrating part about these parables. They just aren't information, right? They are spoken to the people, to us, for transformation. And that is why Jesus says in verse 23, he says, if anyone has ears to hear, let him hear, right? He says, pay attention to what you hear, right? Jesse spoke about listening last week, right? And so Jesus didn't say, just sit back and receive. Here's a box of popcorn, you know, sit back and enjoy the ride of life, right? Right? As we know, that's not how life works. He wanted us to listen, to respond, right? And what did Jesus want us to respond to? He gives this metaphor in verse 21. Is a lamp brought in to be put under a basket or under a bed and not on a stand? For nothing is hidden except to be made manifest, nor is anything secret except to come to light. So Jesus is talking about this lamp that actually isn't us, right? Like it is in Matthew 5 where he says to be the light, right, of the world, right? But the lamp in this case is God's word, God's truth. And we'll talk about how we know that in just a bit. So we know we aren't just reading God's word for it to simply sit back in the back of our minds, right? Jesus wants to engage him. Why? Because he's a person. Right? Because he wants you to be active in a relationship with him. He wants to, he's talking so that we listen and respond, right? And whether you're a parent, a spouse, or a friend, or a child, whether you are a little child or a bigger, much bigger child like me, you know the value of being heard and listened, right? It matters to us. So it matters to Jesus, whether you just hear God's word or actively listen and follow, right? That's the difference between reading scripture for information and transformation, right? So I'm gonna quickly break down the difference, right? For information, when we read scripture for information, it's cognitive. We're looking for rationality. We're looking for an intellectual stimulus, right? We're looking to read it to get knowledge, to get what we want from it, to study it, to master it, right? We want to master the text so that we manipulate it and control it, or worse, control others, right? We as the Big C Church, not necessarily here at Kairos, have been guilty of lording God's word over our people, over the church, to get what we want, right? As in, do this, don't do that, make babies because that's what Genesis says, which it does not, by the way. But that's a different story, right? So that's what reading scripture for information is like, right? Information just goes to our head and stays in our heads like a coin dropped in a jar, right? Or worse, to use it to get your way. But transformational reading goes to the depths of our spirit, right? Transformational reading is all about absorbing God's word to be shaped by the loving Father, right? Transformational reading is where the text masters you, right? This doesn't mean that we just allow worship the Bible or allow ourselves to be manipulated into bigoted or hateful thinking, right? That's not what scripture is all about, right? But to allow God's word and really God himself to inspire us, right? We are meant to come to him with an openness to listen, to receive, to respond, to be a servant of our trustworthy Lord and Savior rather than the master of the text, right? And I think all of us can say that we've been in a Bible study or a fellowship where we're studying scripture, where someone is just sharing what they know about a passage without sharing how it's impacted them, right? And I know I've been guilty of this too. And while we think we're contributing to a conversation, we may just be saying something to say something. Or worse, to show how much we know, right? And sure, there are times when wisdom and scriptural analysis are important to share, right? But the point of studying scripture together, studying scripture on your own, is to be transformed by God, to share how you have been transformed by God, right? And that is what Jesus is saying in verse 24. Pay attention to what you hear with the measure you use it. It will be measured to you, and still more will be added to you. For to the one who has, more will be given. And from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. So here Jesus is saying the lamp, right? God's word is meant to be utilized, right? We who have been gifted with God's word, Jesus is challenging us by asking these questions, right? He's saying, what are you doing with God's word? Are you applying it to your life? Or are you depositing it in your head like yesterday's news, right? Put another way, are you treating God's word like information or for transformation, right? When we approach reading the Bible with a desire, with an open mind, with a hungry heart, right? We are seeking Jesus, and that is the point of Scripture, right? To meet our awesome and loving God, to encounter the richness of God's truth and love for you and for me, right? And in principle, that is what 2 Timothy 3 is saying, right? All of Scripture is God-breathed, right? And is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training up in righteousness so the people of God may be complete and equipped for every good work, right? Basically, God is saying his word is for life. His word is for transformation and to share how you've been transformed with others. Transformed so you can share with others, right? And so I challenge you, before reading a passage, invite our Holy Spirit into that reading, into that space, right? He's already there, but the point of it is to open your heart and mind to him and asking him with a humble heart, right? And while you're reading a passage, after you've read a passage, ask yourself, how is the Spirit of God touching my spirit, right? What could God be challenging me to do? How did I feel about what I read? How did I react? How did I respond deep within? What is stirring in my soul, right? Why did I feel this way? And if nothing else comes up, ask God why. It's okay to ask him why. I ask him why a lot. It's okay to challenge God, to ask him, hey, what does this mean? Why am I feeling this way? Why am I not feeling this way, right? Because when we don't stop to dwell and to think and to reflect on God's word and how it has impacted me and just move on with our day, we are treating God's word like information, not transformation, right? Friends, let us approach Scripture with that heart of being transformed rather than being informed, right? Yeah. So I was telling Dan and Pastor Lisa this morning, this week, these next two parables are a little challenging. They're a little challenging, right? Right? Even Dan said, oh, I'm glad you're preaching on, not me, right? So that gives you a little highlight to the challenge that these passages have, right? And so that is the parable of the seed growing and the parable of the mustard seed, right? And so I prayed over these passages multiple times, came up with nothing. I read at least half a dozen commentaries, and none of them agreed, right? And so you're like, okay, God, what are you telling me? What do you want me to share to you, right? And so I was reminded of one thing that's certain, right? The Bible, God's word, is always about God first, right? He is the main character. He's the narrator. He's the storyteller. He is the everything. He is woven into every aspect of Scripture, even when you don't think he is, like in the book of Esther. Right? And so my major takeaway for you this morning from these parables, because they are about the same thing, is this. While God's ways can and are hard to understand at times, and if I'm honest, all the time, but while God's ways can and are hard to understand, we can trust in our loving God's character, even when we don't understand what he is doing. Why? Because he is much, much bigger than we think or understand or imagine, right? And if you're sitting there, probably like me when I first came up with this, Jason, how did you get that from these parables, right? Because to me, they're just talking about seeds and plants, right? Right? And so I'll start off with this. I'll start off with what Jesus is not saying, right? These parables are not directly about us. They're not about our faith or our heart condition, right? And we know this because the parables talk about linear growth in plants, right? And I think we can all attest that our spiritual growth or growth in general in life is not linear, right? It's probably more like an erratic heartbeat, right? Up and down, sideways, backwards, down to the depths of the valley, right? And a doctor might look at it and say, why are this person still alive? They should be dead by now, right? That's what growth can sometimes look like, right? So Jesus didn't mention anything about the condition of the soil, right? Like he did in the parable of the sower. So it isn't about our heart condition or our faith, right? So what is Jesus saying? Remember that he is talking about the kingdom, right? He says the kingdom of God is like this. And so a primary idea that he is conveying is that we can't always see God's kingdom and his movement in our lives or in the world, but he is at work nonetheless, right? Just like the seeds growing and the crops growing overnight, over time, right? I think many of us can say that God has moved in our lives even when we couldn't understand why something happened. Or if we did understand, it was well after what happened did we see God's movement at work, right? And so I heard this story from this elderly woman about her coming to faith in Christ. But she only came to Christ in her old age, in retirement, right? And her family and her friends had been praying for 40 plus years for her to know Jesus, right? They had talked to her countless times, and it was just like a wall. Nothing was there, right? Everything was bouncing back, like, no, forget about it. I don't care, right? And at some point, they started to give up because by this person's own admission, they were a very hard person to know. They would get angry and explosive for no good reason sometimes. They had toxic gossiping in their life, right? They were a toxic gossiper, and right? And so, but eventually God worked in her heart, in the unseen, in the unknown, right? In the depths of her spirit, she began to wonder, right, over time, why am I like this? Why do I speak like this to people? Why do I treat them so poorly, right? And when she came to Christ 30, 40 years later, her family didn't see that fruit and didn't even know that God was at work in her life until well after she had said yes to Jesus, right? And so God is at work even when we can't see or hear about it, right? But I want to make something clear, though. I want to make something clear. I'm guessing that some of you have heard this phrase, God works in mysterious ways. And it was said to you or someone you care about who is going through a hard time, whether that be through a physical, emotional, spiritual, mental challenge, right? Or maybe when you thought you were failing at parenthood or at school or your job, or maybe when your child is going through a hell of a situation that they just can't seem to get out of. Right? And someone's words to you were, God works in mysterious ways. I grieve with you in hearing these words, right? They may have been said to you with good intentions, but we know that really doesn't help, right? And I'm sorry that you went through incredible, incredible pain because of the words you heard. And while God's ways can and are hard to understand at times, we can trust in our God's loving character even when he is hard to understand. Why? Because he is much, much bigger than we think or imagine. His love goes depths more than we can even think or feel, right? And while this passage ultimately doesn't talk about us. It is for us to understand and relate to, because the primary point of Scripture is for transformation. So these words weren't just spoken to us. God works in mysterious ways and he moves on, right? No, God has a deeper message for us, right? And so this passage reminds us that God is at work often in the unseen, right? And we can trust that our loving God is moving in ways maybe that we don't understand. Maybe the ways we wouldn't do it. But God, we can trust in him because of his loving character. Remember, this is the same God who is guiding you through parenting, even on days when you just want to throw in the towel, right? This is the same God who gives us peace in everyday challenges, right? Like our jobs, our schooling, our health issues, right? This is the same God who sees and hears you, even when no one else does, right? And Jesus spoke these words to his disciples, to his friends, right? In Matthew 6, look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? This doesn't mean that we blindly follow our God or don't question or have fears or doubts, right? What it does mean is that we can trust that our loving Father isn't a master manipulating puppeteer, right? But is a loving heavenly Father who is much, much bigger than our fears and our doubts, who is worth trusting, who is worth following even when we aren't sure where he's leading us. I was mentoring this young adult who was considering going into the pastorate. And he said to me, Jay, I asked him a question. Hey, are you afraid to go to be a pastor? Because he said to me, I've never thought about being a pastor. And I'm like, are you afraid? And he said, yes, I'm afraid. And so I told him, right? Our God, our loving Father, is much, much bigger than your fears. And if that is what's stopping you, don't let it, because our God is much bigger than you imagine. And he loves you. He's going to walk through with you in this journey. Right? So I'm going to invite Manu back up for worship. Maybe you're sitting there this morning saying to yourself, I'm still struggling to trust God. Or maybe you have tried over and over again to have a consistent rhythm of reading God's word, and you just couldn't see transformation there, so you gave up. And maybe you haven't picked up God's word in a couple years, right? Maybe even, right? I get it. I've been there. I think we all have been there, right? You are not alone, right? But I'd be lying to you as your pastor if I didn't say I wanted more for your life in Jesus, right? That you build healthy, gospel-centered rhythms with you and your family where Scripture is a central part of it, right? Because the trust that you are looking for comes not only in life experiences with God, seeing him move and work, absolutely, that's valid. But trust also comes through exploring the depths of who God is and his love for you through this word, right? Through this word, right? And we all know the value of words, right? Parents, if I was a betting man, which I'm not, when you say words to your children, I'm going to guess that you absolutely meant it, right? When you say, I love you to your child, you meant it, right? Or my favorite one, hey, go to bed. I'm not gonna tell you again, go to bed, right? or for anyone who has ever had a friend say meaningful encouragement to you, right? You probably cherished their words. They could have probably pierced your soul, right? And that's the same with our God. He is speaking to us right now through his word. So don't wait any longer to commit or recommit your life to spending and pursuing Jesus through God's word, right? Don't wait for your life to just hit the fan, to finally say, I need to spend time, quality time with my God. Just do it. In that moment, just say, hey God, I only have a moment, but I need you, right? So I urge you, my friends, to approach God's word with a mindset of being transformed rather than just informed, right? And trust that our loving God, trust our loving God even when you don't know where he's leading you. Let us worship our God with that heart.